You're listening to KZSU, Stanford. Oh no. Wait, oh. Okay. No, that's not the sound. This is definitely not what I had in mind. This is a Cranky Kid show. Once upon a time, there were three brothers. The youngest was called Dumbling, and he was teased all the time. One day, the eldest brother went into the forest to chop some wood. Before he left, his mother gave him a cake and a bottle of wine to take with him. When he went into the forest, he met a little old man, who greeted him and said,
"Good day. Please give me some cake and wine. I am very hungry and very thirsty."
And to this, the eldest brother replied,
"If I give you any, I shall have none for myself. Go away."
Later, as the eldest brother was chopping down a tree, the little old man secretly caused the axe to slip, and the blade cut his arm.
Ouch.
So the brother had to return home to get it wrapped in bandages. The middle brother then went into the forest, also with cake and wine. And in the forest, he also met the same little old man.
"Good day. Please give me some cake and wine. I am very hungry and very thirsty."
"If I give you any, I shall have less for myself. Go away."
Soon after, as the middle brother was chopping down a tree, the little old man secretly caused the axe to slip again.
Ouch, ouch.
And the blade cut his leg so badly that he had to be carried home. Then Dumbling said,
"Father, let me go and cut the wood."
But his father said no.
"You are too stupid to cut wood. You will get hurt just like your brothers."
But Dumbling begged and begged, so his father let him go, certain that his youngest son would get hurt, but then learn from the experience. The mother gave Dumbling a hard cake made with water and baked in the cinders, and also a bottle of sour beer. In the forest, he also met the same little old man.
"Good day. Please give me some cake and wine. I am very hungry and very thirsty."
"I only have cinder cake and sour beer, but if that's okay, we can sit down and eat it together."
They sat down, and when Dumbling took out his cake, it was now a fine, sweet cake, and the sour beer had turned into a fine wine. After they ate, the little old man said,
"Because you have a good heart, I will give you good luck. Cut down that old tree over there. It has something in its roots."
When the tree fell, Dumbling found a goose with feathers of pure gold sitting in its roots. He took the goose with him to an inn where he could spend the night. The innkeeper had three daughters who were all curious about the goose and wanted one of its golden feathers. When Dumbling went to his room, the eldest daughter went to the barn and tried to pull out a feather from the goose's wing, but her finger and hand stuck fast to the wing as if glued. The middle daughter then came to pluck a feather, but as soon as she touched her sister on the arm, she became stuck fast to her, as if glued. When the youngest daughter came, her sisters tried to warn her away.
"Keep away! Keep away!"
But the youngest wouldn't listen, and when she touched the middle sister on her arm, she became stuck fast to her, as if glued. So the three girls had to spend the night in the barn with the goose, all stuck together. The next morning, Dumbling took the goose under his arm and took no notice of the three stuck sisters. He then set out for his home with the three sisters dangling along. On the way, a parson spied them. And he, being a parson, said to them,
"This is unseemly. You girls should not be running after this young man."
And the parson reached out to pull the youngest sister away, and his hand got stuck fast to her arm, as if glued. Before long, the parson's sexton saw them and called out,
"Your Reverence, where are you going? We have a christening today."
He grabbed the parson's arm, and he became stuck fast to the parson, as if glued.
Why?
Two laborers were passing by, and the parson begged them to help free himself from the sexton. But the first laborer got himself stuck to the sexton, and the second laborer got himself stuck to the first laborer, as if glued. Now there were seven people running behind Dummling and the goose. Soon after that, Dummling came to a city where there lived a princess who was so solemn and so serious that her father, the king, decreed that whosoever could make her laugh should marry her. So when Dummling heard this, he went to the princess with his goose and the train of stuck people following along after him. When the princess saw the seven people all stuck in a line and fumbling and jumbling and running behind Dummling, she began to laugh and laugh and laugh. She laughed so loudly that it seemed she would never stop. Dummling then asked for the princess to be his wife, but the king did not like the idea of a peasant marrying his daughter, and made all sorts of excuses to get out of his promise.
You must first produce a man who can drink a cellarful of wine.
Dummling thought of the little old man, so he returned to the forest and found the little old man looking very sad.
I am so thirsty. I cannot stand water, and I have just emptied a barrel of wine. But that is but a drop on a hot stone for someone like me.
Dummling looked at him and knew the answer to his problem.
Come with me. I know where you can get rid of your thirst.
Dummling took him to the king's cellar, whereupon the little old man drank and drank and drank until all the wine barrels had been emptied. Dummling again asked for the princess to be his wife, but the king really, really hated the idea that an ugly peasant called Dummling should marry his daughter. So the king came up with another request that he thought Dummling couldn't fulfill.
Find me a man who can eat an entire mountain of bread.
Dummling again thought of the little old man and returned to the forest.
I am so hungry. I have eaten an oven full of rolls. But what good is that to someone as hungry as me? My stomach is empty and I will die of hunger.
Dummling again knew the answer to his problem.
Come with me. I know where you can eat yourself full.
Dummling took him to the king's palace and had a mountain of bread made. The little old man ate and ate and ate until, at the end of the day, the mountain of bread had vanished.
Wow!
Then Dummling, for the third time, asked for the princess to be his wife. But the king again tried to fend him off with a demand.
Find me a ship that can sail on land and on water.
Dummling immediately returned to the forest. This time, the old man listened to Dummling, and then he said,
Since you have been so kind and given me food and drink, I will give you this ship.
And when the king saw the ship, he could no longer refuse to give the princess to Dummling for his bride.
Yeah!
They wed. And after the king's death, Dummling inherited the kingdom and lived a long time, very happy and content with his wife.
Thank you.
That was the Golden Goose from the Cranky Kids series, Grimly Speaking.
Stanford Parking and Transportation Services asks,
is having a good hair day worth a very real risk of paralysis, permanent brain damage, or death if you're involved in a crash on your bike?
Bike helmets reduce head trauma in the event of a collision by up to 85%. Love your brain, wear a helmet. Learn more by visiting bike.stanford.edu.
And now, everyone, it's
time for cows!
South Africa? Today we're talking to the Nguni. You're a breed from the past.
Very true. Yes, we have been developing in the African environment for thousands of years. We are a subtype of the African Sanga cattle.
I am told that you have characteristics of both Bos taurus and Bos indicus cattle.
Very true. Yes. Our ancestors came here with the Nguni tribe and the Khoi people from the Central Lakes area of Africa. We are now in South Africa, mostly found in Swaziland, Zululand, and Mozambique.
Very interesting. Now you have mainly been a draft animal all this time.
Yes, very true. We pull, and we pull well, my friend. We are not that large. We are very stocky and strong, and we're colorful. Our fine short hair has many different mixtures of black, white, red, brown, cream, and dun.
Dun?
Dun. D-U-N. I am talking about the color dun. It is a brownish gray or grayish brown.
Well, which is it?
Which is what?
Dun. Which color is it? Brownish gray or grayish brown?
Is there a difference?
Well, yes. One leans more to the brown side of things, and the other leans more towards the gray side of things.
I'm a cow.
Yes, I can see that.
So the color dun does both, depending on the light. That's why the color is called dun and not grayish brown or brownish gray. Have you been outside too long today?
Why do you ask?
You talk as if you've had too much sun or too many ticks have bitten you and have been sucking your blood.
Ew.
Yes. Very true. Light-headed. You sound light-headed. We have lots of sun here in Africa. Perhaps you should go rest in the shade.
Are there any ticks there?
Ticks are everywhere in the world. Go rest under that tree.
Okay, I think I will. Would you care to join me?
No, thank you. I feel like browsing some steep slopes now. I'm very good at foraging in places like that. Also in thick bush.
Are you sure? That shade looks awfully nice.
I'm an Nguni cow. I don't need shade like you. Go rest.
This is a Cranky Kid Show.
Hello? Yes, we can come over. What seems to be the problem? Okay, right, we're on our way.
What's up? It's a new bookstore downtown. They say some of their titles are changing and things are getting a bit cheesy.
Cheesy?
Yeah, cheesy.
As in cheap?
You got me. But just hearing them use that word makes me cringe.
This is a job for the men in milk. Dairy defenders.
Quick, pull over. That space is open.
Okay.
Did you see the license plate of the car that just pulled away?
No, silly. I was busy driving.
It said, eat cheese or die.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Sounds like someone who's serious about their fromage.
Come on, let's get into the store and find out what's going on.
Good evening. May I help you in any way?
Yeah, we got a call that something funny was going on. Are you the manager?
No, the manager is right over here.
Oh, thank goodness you've arrived. Come, just come and look at what's happening.
Look at these books.
Cyrano de Camembert.
A Tale of Two Cheeses.
Gone with the Cheese.
The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Cheese.
Swiss Cheese Family Robinson.
Moby Cheese.
The Old Man and the Cheese.
The Three Musketeers.
Yes, titles everywhere seem to be mutating into some cheese form. And come over here, in the video section. Look, look.
Cheesy Hollow.
Cheese Wars.
Scream Cheese.
Children of the Cheese.
Dr. String Cheese.
Cheezilla.
The Gouda Father Parts 1, 2, and 3.
Titan Cheese.
American Cheese Beauty.
You see? And at the registers, the sign now reads that we accept Master Cheese, Visa, and Feta Express.
What is going on?
I don't know, but it all sounds like a pattern to me, and I can only think of one person to ask.
You mean?
Exactly. Belle Pays. She runs the most influential underground head cheese shop around. Belle Pays, how nice to see you again. Tell us, have you noticed any increase in your business?
Why, yes. As a matter of fact, I got a big order in this morning for some seeds.
What kind of seeds?
Seeds to plant. Said they want to grow some gorgonzolas. Would I please get the seeds for them? They wanted them delivered to this address.
The Ricotta Inn, 25 Fondue Lane in the town of Port Salut.
Sounds like someone's trying to change the face of our planet.
Yeah, first the cultural and entertainment stuff, and other plants too.
I think we better go over to the Ricotta Inn and see who wants these seeds.
Yes?
How do you do? We understand that you are planning to grow some gorgonzolas in your garden. Is this true?
Why, yes, it is true, but I haven't gotten the seeds yet.
How did you find out about these seeds?
Why, in this new gardening catalog, Fromaggio with Me. I found it in my mailbox just last week.
Can I see that, please?
Certainly. There are lots of nice products to grow. If the gorgonzolas come up nice, I'm going to plant some fontinas and chevres next.
Look here! What? The barcode in the back. Ever seen anything like that before?
No, I don't think so. Wait a minute. Yes, I have. It was on there.
Hush. Thank you, ma'am. We'll be running along now.
You're welcome.
So, the Moo Men have returned.
Yes, and apparently they want to make this planet into an exact replica of theirs. Planet Moo.
What are we going to do?
Stop them, of course.
Well, duh, but how are we going to do it?
The same way you stop any hostile takeover. You find the source and remove it. We have to get back to the bookstore.
The bookstore? Okay, what gives? Why are we back here in the bookstore?
Didn't you notice the two salespeople who were hovering around us when the manager was showing us the cheesy books and videos?
Yes, what about them?
Well, one was named Jack, and the other was named Colby. How much do you want to bet that their last names are Cheddar and Longhorn?
There they are!
Wait up, you two!
Why? What do you want from us?
Who are you?
We are salespeople for this store.
That's right, just your typical average bookstore clerk.
If that's true, then what's slush?
What?
Slush. It's when people go to the register with a book and then decide not to buy it.
Yeah.
And then they just leave it at the register?
Yeah.
Well, people who work at bookstore registers call these books slush. And if these two really worked here, they'd know that.
Just as we thought, you're Moo Men.
Run for it.
They're headed for the back door.
After them. Rats, they're getting away.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. They've just flown off, and we are still here standing on the ground. I don't know about you, but from where I come from, that's called getting away.
You know, for someone who notices little name tags, you sure are blind to the big stuff.
What do you mean?
That airship was ours.
The Dairy Defender dirigible?
The one and only.
Oh. Oh well.
Another disaster averted by the Men in Milk. Dairy Defenders.
Do you think I could get a copy of Gone with the Cheese? Okay, never mind.
That was Men in Milk, Chapter 2, Night of the Living Cheese.
How long have they been standing in front of the dairy section?
About 2 hours, I'd say. One of my employees, Philip, from Produce, was the first to notice them while stacking the zucchinis. After a while, they started swaying and sort of mumbling.
It is hypnotizing. It is hypnotizing. It is hypnotizing.
That's when we got nervous and called you people.
It's a good thing you did. They might be Moo Men from Planet Moo.
This is a job for the Men in Milk, Dairy Defenders.
What do you think we should do?
Ask them a simple question and see if they stammer. Excuse me, but could you point out the half and half to me?
Stay where you are. We have you surrounded.
We don't have them surrounded. There's only two of us.
Run for it.
After them.
Watch out for the wet spot in front of the...
Whoa.
eggs. I knew I shouldn't have put that display there.
Ow, that hurt. And they got away.
Well, they wouldn't have if you weren't so literal.
But it's just so outrageous when you exaggerate like that. We have you surrounded. I mean, really.
Excuse me?
What?
Can we get back to the problem of the swaying Moomin?
Right. We'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, it seems we have a little problem with fleeing at the moment. Well, our other agents have confirmed that they are definitely Moomin. Any further activity?
11 stores have reported the Moomin staring and swaying in front of their dairy sections.
Are all of them supermarkets?
Of course. When's the last time you saw a dairy section in a clothing store?
Hey, they have coffee shops and bookstores now. Who knows what the next brilliant idea for selling messy food with sustainable merchandise will be?
Good point.
So what have the Moomin done besides the swaying?
Nothing, as far as anyone can tell.
You mean they just sort of become hypnotized until someone chases them away?
So far.
This is highly suspicious. They must be up to something.
It has been too long.
We must keep trying.
But it has been too long. We will be punished for not finding the right one.
The Dairy Queen needs us. We must keep trying.
Yes, yes, our queen needs us. You are right.
For the Dairy Queen of Planet Moo, our search continues.
Where are they? Where are they? It has been forever, and still they have not returned.
But, Your Majesty, it has been terribly hard for them to find the right one. They tell us there are many, many different varieties. The one you so desperately need has yet to be found.
They must find it. Time is running out, and it is the only thing that will save me.
There are so many.
7 ounce, 15 ounce, real light, 33% more free, sweetened.
All purpose, instant, fat free, non-dairy.
Non-dairy, how can that be?
We will never find it.
We are doomed.
Moo hoo hoo. Moo hoo hoo.
Now what?
They found them on the floor of a quick market, weeping by the ice cream section.
Where are they now?
Upstairs, slapping their heads with their hoof hands. They're mooing so high you'd think there was a helium duct underneath them.
They need help. Come on, let's see what we can do.
Jeez, I never thought that we'd try to help the Moomin with anything, other than getting back to the planet Moo.
Okay, okay already. Enough with the noise. Tell us what's the matter.
Yeah, talk now or we'll ship you back to Planet Moo in the next flight out.
No!
Then spit it out.
What is the matter?
We have no choice. We must trust them.
Yes, you are right. Help us! Help our queen, the Dairy Queen of Planet Moo.
Goodbye!
No wonder they were going crazy trying to find that stuff. They don't sell it in supermarkets. You have to special order it from the catalog of that gourmet dairy outfit in Wisconsin.
I think we should alert the satellite companies that their transmissions are causing the weirdest problems.
Why?
Don't you think it's a bit strange that the Dairy Queen of Planet Moo has become hooked on watching cooking shows beamed in from Earth?
I think you're being a little too judgmental.
Excuse me?
She obviously wants to expand her horizons.
What? Hey, wait a minute. You watch those cooking shows too, don't you?
So what if I do?
I don't know. I just didn't think anyone, other than the people on public television, actually did that sort of thing.
You mean you never cook?
No.
It is too late. All the high officials are here. I am ruined.
Wait, Your Majesty. I hear a knock from the hidden door, known to only your most trusted servants.
It is us. We have returned.
Are we in time?
Have you brought forth to me the fabled foaming froth of the faraway planet?
We have, Your Majesty.
Oh, thank Hathor. My dinner party will be the hit of the season. No one on Planet Moo has ever tasted a whipped topping such as this. You've done well, my servants.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
What's that you're holding?
It's a message from the Moomin thanking us for our help. The Queen has rewarded them with as many milk baths as they want. They want to know if we'd like to have some of them sent here.
Yikes. I don't think so. Tell them thanks, but no thanks.
You know, if they take baths in milk, what do you think they would do with...
Would do with what?
Do with any extra that gourmet whipped cream in a can we sent them home with.
I thought you said you didn't cook.
I don't.
Another disaster averted by the men in milk. Dairy Defenders.
I was just asking.
That was Men in Milk, Chapter 3, The Dairy Queen.
Once upon a time, there was a mouse.
Eek, eek.
A robin.
Tweet, tweet.
And a sausage.
Jimmy Dean's best.
They all became friends and decided to keep house together. A few months later, the robin boasted to the lark about her nice household and her wonderful living arrangements.
All I have to do is fetch some twigs from the forest each day. What could be simpler?
The lark disagreed.
You are a fool. You work the hardest, and the other two have it easy. When the mouse is done lighting the fire, carrying the water, and setting the table, she gets to go into her little room and take a nap until dinner.
But...
And the sausage just stays by the pot. When the food is nearly ready, it just rolls around once or twice through the broth to season it. You are being used by this mouse and this sausage.
Oh, the robin was very unhappy hearing this. She felt about an indigestion coming on. So she decided she would make things change. That evening, she and the other two ate well and had a good night's sleep. But in the morning, the robin became contrary and refused to get any more twigs.
No, no, no. I won't get the wood. You have made a fool of me long enough.
But what shall we do then?
Yes, what do you want us to do?
You, little sausage, shall fetch the twigs for tomorrow. I'll light the fire, and you, little mouse, will do the cooking.
No matter how hard they argued with her, the mouse and the sausage could not persuade the robin to change her mind. So the sausage set out to collect the next day's twigs, and the robin took care of the fire. The poor little mouse just sat by the cooking pot in the kitchen, waiting patiently for the sausage to return. However, a great deal of time passed, and the mouse became exceedingly concerned.
This has been too long. Where can little sausage be?
I'll go fly about and look for it.
Not far off, the robin spied a big, ugly, mangy, flea-ridden dog right as he was swallowing the sausage. She flew down to him.
Robber, robber, you have eaten my friend, the little sausage.
See here, Robin, stop yelling at me. I found forged letters on that sausage. It got what it deserved.
And the big, ugly, mangy, dirty, smelly, flatulent...
Hey!
the dog stomped away in a huff. Heartbroken, the robin flew home and told the mouse what had happened.
I guess there's nothing we can do.
Yes, I guess not. I'll go ready the table for our meal.
Now, the mouse wanted to season the soup the way the sausage used to season it, so she climbed into the boiling pot. And before she could say another word, she lost her hair.
Oh, my.
And her skin.
Oh, my gun.
And her life. When the robin came into the kitchen for dinner, the mouse was gone.
Mouse, mouse, where are you?
In her frenzy to find the mouse, the robin knocked the pot over and scattered the fire. The house began to fill with smoke.
Oh, heavens, I'd better fetch some water from the well.
But the bucket dropped into the well, and the robin fell in after it and drowned. Oh well, that's what happens sometimes when you change things for a lark.
That was another in our series, Grimly Speaking, based on the tales of the Brothers Grimm. This brings us to the end of the Cranky Kids Radio Show. More information about Cranky Kids can be found at crankykids.com. That's cranky with a K. crankykids.com. Until the next time, everyone stay well and do have fun. Bye now.